Have you ever had a fear of lack, a fear of running out of money, a fear of not having your needs met? Well, stay tuned. We're going to address that right now.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you've joined us today. We're in the middle of a series. We're talking about fear and living a fearless life and about how God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. You know, we're meant to be bold and meant to be taking the promises of God without fear. And fear will come in and it will try and intimidate us and it will try and hold us back from receiving everything God has given to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
Amen. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at something in particular. And I think this is one way that fear, manifests, if you like, or one thing we're often afraid of that can make us, hinder us in our walk with God. And that's fear of lack.
Right.
Or fear of God not providing for us, or fear of our needs not being met. And I've been there. It's something I have to, often, even nowadays, often I find myself thinking about this, like, is it going to be okay? You know, in our ministry, you know, we're running our ministry here, Terades Ministries. And sometimes, you know, there could be times when you think, is this going to work out financially?
Right.
Is it going to work out?
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because that fear of lack isn't even really necessarily dependent on how much money you have.
No, that's right.
You can have millionaires that are operating out of a lack mentality.
Yeah.
And you can have people that genuinely have no money that have a more prosperous outlook.
And they don't have fear. They're not driven by fear.
Right.
That's right. And in fact, we're going to look at a couple of stories, hopefully, if we have time this session, of contrasting those two mentalities.
Yeah.
But I want to start this with Matthew 6.
Sure.
Have you got that? This is Jesus speaking, Matthew 6. And Matthew 6 is a great chapter. And a lot of it is talking about how God's going to provide for us, and about how we're to steward what he gives us, and about provision. So I really want to talk about this. This fits in really well with fear. Yeah, start at verse 25, would be great.
So it says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than just food, and body than clothing?
This is, you've got the men and the women covered here. I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but it says, is not your life more than food and
that's
your body
men.
More than clothing? Yeah, men are always thinking about what they're going to eat. they have lunch, it's like, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
So that's the men
especially
covered.
Especially teenagers.
They're always worried
teenage
about...
Teenage boys, always, oh my goodness.
Yeah, we've got two teenage boys and they eat. They're always worried about what they're going to eat, what's next for food, what's next for dinner. And then the women are covered here because it talks about clothing, what are you going to wear? The women's always worried about what they're going to wear. I'm going to get in trouble for this. Wait, you're going to this party tomorrow night? What are you going to wear? They're always thinking about what they're going to wear.
What I think is really interesting observation is if girls show up at the same party and they're wearing the same outfit, it's like, oh no, I've got the same outfit. If guys show up at a party and they're wearing the same outfit, they're like high-fiving each other.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like great.
What actually happens
is... Isn't that weird?
If two women turn up to an event with the same outfit, they'll go to their friends and go, "Who do I wear it better? Oh, yeah, you wear it better than her. And you, you look it better than
her. Oh, her butt looks big in that.
Mm-hmm. Carly, you can't say that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm in trouble now. You said it, not me. Okay. Write to Carly Terades if you have any complaints, okay? This is the complaint department. So anyway, where was we? Matthew 6. Yeah, keep going.
Okay, sorry. Pay attention here. Look at the birds of the air, for they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Who among you, by taking thought, can add a cubit to his stature?
Amen. Keep going.
All right. Why take thought about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Listen up, teenagers, right? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you.
Amen. What Jesus is saying here is, you know, do not fear. In fact, it says in when he talks about do not worry, that word worry there is talking about do not be anxious. Do not fear what you're going to, how you're going to get provided for.
Right.
And he's saying, he's really emphasizing it, our Heavenly Father, our Dad. You know, we looked at that verse the last episode about how we cry out now, Abba Father.
Yeah.
It's powerful. You know, our Heavenly Father.
That's really intimate.
He's intimate. He's going to provide for us. That's his promise to us. He's going to. The only people that can block God's provision for us is us.
Hmm.
Okay, God is going to provide for us if we'll let him. He's going to provide for us. And Jesus is saying, you know, do not worry. Don't take thought. Don't be preoccupied with how your needs are going to be met. Now, this doesn't mean there's always a balance. I want to balance this out. This doesn't mean that you know, some people take this verse to extreme. Say, well, God, my Father, is going to provide. I was talking to a young man once, and he came to me, and he was going broke. He was out of money, and I said, well, why don't you get a job? You know, I can help you find some work, and I can help you get a job. And you know, his response is, no, God's going to provide for me. And I said, yeah, God's going to provide for you, but he's going to give you things to do for that provision to come in. Yeah. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God gives us the power to get wealth.
Right.
And everything we put our hand to prospers. I believe that we are to work and we have to put our hands to something, and God's going to provide for us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a tool he uses to provide for us. But the bottom line is, if we have fear that we're going to run out, if we have fear that we're going to go hungry, if we have fear that we're not going to be provided for, then that is a bad place to be. If our thoughts are preoccupied with that, we have to get to the point of realizing, no, God's going to provide for us.
It's just, to God me, it's like a little child, right? We're supposed to have childlike faith, just simple belief that takes the word of God at face value and simply believes it. And when we really have that down on the inside of us, that God can be trusted and that he really is a good father and that he really does love us and that we really can trust him to provide for our needs even better than we can, man, we'll approach this like a little child. You know, toddlers, they don't go to their parents and say, oh, mummy, daddy, will you feed me today?
Right.
Will you clothe me today? Will you pay for the rent or the mortgage today? They just believe that you're going to do that for them because you're a good father. You're a good mom, right? And if we approach dad, our Father God, with that same daddy, Abba Father kind of attitude, we're like, you know what? He said he's going to look after us. It's going to look after
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
That's it.
It really is. You know, and what will happen with fear is fear in your finances, or when you allow a financial fear in, what will happen is it will hinder how you operate. It will hinder how you give. It will hinder how you trust God. Because what fear will do is fear will come along and say, you know, you can't afford it. You can't afford to give. If you give, then you know, how are you going to get your needs met? And lies like that, that's what's going to happen. And that's often, I meet a lot of people, and I've been there myself, where, you know, the Lord will tell you, or you feel led to give or to you know, to help someone out like that. And what's going to happen is you're going to have that, if you've got fear that says, well, who's going to provide for you? If you haven't got it down, if you haven't got it settled in your heart that God's your Father and he's going to provide for you, then any time that you feel led to give and things like that, that fear is going to stop you doing it. You're going to listen to that voice of fear rather than listen to that voice of faith. In actual fact, it's the opposite. You know, we know in Proverbs 11:24, there's one who scatters, Proverbs 11:24, one who scatters yet increases more, yet there's one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. So when we're in fear and we withhold, and we say, I'm not gonna release my finances, I've just got to keep all this money to me, because that's out of fear, I can't afford to let this money go. That's a fear mentality. Faith will say, you know, if God's telling me to give, I'm going to give, and it's going to come back to me, God's going to provide for me. But fear will say, no, hold on to that money, don't let that money go. And that's fear speaking. In actual fact, the Word of God says the opposite. As we give in faith, praise God, as we scatter and we give in faith, we're going to increase. But if we withhold our money out of fear, that's actually going to lead to poverty.
Right.
So we're going to actually be worse off like that. Mm-hmm. There's a good example of this in Mark 10. In Mark 10, there's a story of the rich young ruler coming to Jesus. And we talked about how Carly said earlier, you know, there's, you can have, you know, you could be a millionaire and be in fear of finances, or you could have no money at all and not be in fear. You know, it's not about the amount of money, it's our attitude towards
your
that finances.
Your perception. We talked about perception a lot last time, didn't we, as well?
In this series about fear, this has been a whole series about living fearlessly. And, you know, how we perceive things, how we perceive that, you know, the worst case and things like that is really going to affect our actions. It's really going to affect how we believe and the promises of God, how we receive them. You know, the promise of God is, we read that in Matthew 6, the promise of God is he's going to provide for us. He's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for us. He provides for his own household. You know, he's Timothy, I believe, he talks about if you don't provide for your own household, you know,
you're worse than an infidel.
1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone doesn't provide for his own household, then he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Now, that's a harsh verse. You know, that's a verse that's like, whoa, what was that? Well, let me just say this about that verse. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the scriptures? God the Father. God our Father wrote these scriptures. He used man to write it. But, you know, the word of God is his word. So do you think God goes by his own word?
Yes.
Do you think God's going to provide for his own household, his own children? Of course he is. You know, and if you're worried about that verse, you think, what does that verse mean, worse than unbeliever? Well, that's real simple. What's happening with this verse is, what Paul's saying to Timothy with this verse is that, you know, unbelievers, they don't have a God to pass the buck to. And like I said about this young man, he said, well, God's going to provide for me. I've met people with families and they haven't worked because they just use God as an excuse. Well, God's going to provide.
So and it's really an excuse extreme. For laziness.
Yeah, that's just taking it to an extreme. And he wouldn't go to work, and he just said, God's going to provide for me. And then, you know, but at the same time, he had a child, and they were virtually homeless at the time, had no money, because the father wouldn't go out and work. And the way I look at this verse is, this is my interpretation of this verse, is an unbeliever, they haven't got a God to trust in, if you like.
So they have to work.
So they have to provide. They have to provide for their children. And if you have an unbeliever, you know, if you have someone who doesn't believe in God and they have a child, unless they have a mental illness or unless they have an addiction or something, they're going to provide for their children. There's a burden. There's a natural paternal or maternal instinct to provide for their family. And they haven't got a God to just, you know, quote unquote, trust in because, you know, as an excuse. So they have to make it happen. So they'll go and make it happen, is my point. Right. Whereas I meet a lot of Christians who say, well, God's going to provide. Mm. And they use God as an excuse for laziness. Mm. So we're not talking about taking this, you know, Matthew 6 to an extreme where it's like, well, God's going to provide. I don't have to do anything. No, we're saying God has provided. God will provide. But he's going to show us what we could put our hands to. We can show us what we could do. It's a little bit like the story we read last episode about taking the promised land. God said, I've given you this promised land. Now go and possess it.
Right.
Well, Jesus is saying here, God's going to provide. God the Father is going to provide for you.
We don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about it. Don't mm-hmm. take thought. Don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious about it. Just be like, you know what? God's going to provide for me. Now, where's the job that I can go and do? Or mm-hmm. where's the extra work I can do? Where's the business I can start? Mm-hmm. How is God going to provide for me? It's not if God's going to provide for me. It's how is God going
to
provide for me?
No, I remember this when we were going to Bible college. And we had just moved across country. And we'd signed up to be in Bible college. And, I mean, it was completely led by the Lord. We knew that we were following God. He supernaturally led us to go to Bible college. And so we moved to this house quite a long way from our family, a long way from an English person. Anyway, and we traveled across country. We rented this house. We were both in Bible college. Our kids had tuition at school as well. So we had five lots of tuition to pay. And Ashley wasn't working because we were going to Bible college in the mornings. And I think we'd kind of gotten this down on the inside of us, like, we're going to Bible college now, so we're going to be spiritual. So obviously, we're not going to have to work.
Yeah, I was.
And we hadn't really thought it through. You know, but God is so gracious, he worked with us anyway. But in that meantime, as we were kind of working out that transition, you know, there's lots of different ways that God provides for us, but that doesn't mean that we just sit on the couch and wait for it to fall on our laps. There's a partition in there.
Participation in
there.
I had to put my hand to something.
You had to put your hand to something. But while we were figuring that out, we'd really gotten to the end of all of our resources. So we were in a bit of a pickle because our rent was coming due in a couple of days.
A bit of a pickle, so we have people watching all around the world. So just to translate, if you're watching a different continent, a pickle is an English term. It means a little bit of trouble.
Tight spot.
Tight spot. We're in a tight spot. Go ahead. I'm just trying to put subtitles on
here.
Oh,
my goodness. The English translation.
A little bit of a pickle.
So we were in a bit of a pickle. Our rent was coming due and we didn't have any money to pay. And I remember that God said that he was going to provide for us. I remember this Philippians 4:19 was a scripture that I stood on to go to Bible college, which says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So there's me going to the Lord saying, remember, God, remember you gave me a promise to stand on? Well, I know you're not usually early, but it'd be really nice if you weren't late and the rent's coming due. And I'm just vacuuming the house and I'm praying in tongues and I feel the Lord say to me, I've already provided for you. He keeps his word, right? Amen. I've already provided for you. It's in your house. It's in your hand. So my question to the Lord was, well, if it's in the house, it's in my hand, where is it? Where is it? God's already given it to us. But it wasn't an if. It was definitely a where.
Right.
And, you know, this is another plug for praying in tongues. We've mentioned this before, but God gives us wisdom. And as I'm vacuuming, I mean, God starts to give me wisdom and revelation. And I'm vacuuming. I hit the baseboard and out pops a check. I mean, it's right by the front door where our mail would come in the door. And that check had been sat inside the wall cavity for like 2 months. And it was like 2 months worth of rent that was sitting there waiting for us, like almost like the day we moved in, right for the time at which we needed it. And then there were so many supernatural things that happened after that, divine instructions that he told us to go do.
Yeah.
But it was things we had to do, but he led us to do it.
Yeah.
And the provision was already there. It wasn't an if, it was a where. Where do I find it?
Yeah, that's
right.
But
it was always there.
So we have to settle in our hearts that God is going to provide for us.
Yeah.
As long as we cooperate with
exactly.
You know, what he does. We can't just be lazy and do nothing, because that's blocking God's provision. So we want to cooperate, and we did. We cooperated. That was the first thing. But there's other things. You know, I ended up buying and selling things and doing all sorts of things.
And he showed you how to do that.
Yeah, and he showed me how to do things. And we actually, you know, we went through 2 years of Bible school debt-free, and it was fine. So the point is, though, if what Jesus said in Matthew 6 is, if we're worried, if we're taking thought about how we're going to get our needs met, that's worry, that's anxiety, that's fear, that can lead to fear, and that can actually get to a place where we're not making rational decisions because we're in fear. And the point I want to make as well is that it's not necessarily having money or not having money. I know with all our viewers, there's people here that have got nothing, they're in dire poverty, and yet there's other people that are considerably wealthy and things like that. It's not about how much money you have or haven't got. We're talking about fear and living fearlessly. It's about the fear of our relationship with money, of how we're handling money. And I'm going to give you two examples here, both in Mark, to show you the difference and to basically show you that you can have a lot of money and still be in fear. And then you can have no money and not be in fear.
Right.
And the point is, obviously, the best case is you want to have money and not be in fear. But the point is, you never want to have fear when it comes to finances, because it's going to stop you doing the things God's called you to do. It's going to stop you acting in faith.
And we understand that God is a good, good Father. We don't need to fear.
Amen.
It's not something we're striving for. We can trust Him to provide.
We know God's going to provide for us. That's right. Amen. So this is the rich young ruler. This is in Mark 10. So in Mark 10, you know, I'm going to give a quick summary of this story. But in Mark 10, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and basically he's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler.
Wow, he's got it all going on.
And I say those three things. I mean, usually once you get rich and a ruler, you use your youth. You know, one of those three gets away from you usually. You know, when you're young and you're broke. And whatever, but he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. So he came to Jesus, and he basically said to him, you know, there's a whole lot in this story about he called him good teacher, and God and Jesus said, why do you call me a good teacher? You know, I'm either God or I'm not. Don't call me good. And there's lots of the teachings lessons there, but the point I want to bring up here is, let's break in at verse 21. So it says in verse 21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Now, I really like this, because it shows that what Jesus is asking the rich young ruler to do is for his own good.
Yeah.
God asks us to do things for our own good.
Mm. He leads us with love.
He leads us with love. He has good things for us, praise God. He only has good for us. So when he asks us to do something, it's for our own good. We can trust that. We know that. So he says he loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. So Jesus is saying to this rich young ruler, you lack something. Even though you're rich and you're young and you're a ruler, you lack something. He says, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. But look at this. But the rich young ruler was sad at Jesus' word. Anytime we're sad at what God tells us, we know we're at error somewhere. We've got to adjust somewhere because, you know, God only tells us good things. So he was sad at Jesus' word. He went his way sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, right here, the rich young ruler couldn't sell everything he had and give it to the poor because he was in fear that he wouldn't be provided for.
His source wasn't God.
His source wasn't God. He had deceitfulness of riches going on. He was believing, he was trusting in his riches. You know, we haven't got time to go there, but in Mark 4, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, and he says there's three things that choke the word and make it unfruitful in our life. Mm. And those three things, he explains it in Mark 4, 18 and 19. He explains it to his disciples. He says those three things are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Mm. Those three things enter in and choke the word of God, and it becomes unfruitful. That's what it says.
Right. And then we'll find ourselves struggling more with fear because we will lack the peace that the word brings to our life.
Yeah, it brings in fear. It's fear-based. So what happened here is that this rich young ruler was in fear of his provision. If he was to give this money, he wanted to follow Jesus. He came to Jesus. He loved God. He loved Jesus. He came to him. He wanted to follow him and everything else. But when Jesus said, sell everything you have, he had a fear of not having those tangible finances.
Right.
He had a fear of giving that money away. And because he had a fear of giving that money away, he went away sorrowful and he wasn't able to follow Jesus. That's huge. I'm telling you, fear will try and pull you away from your relationship with God. Yeah. Fear will take you away from faith. And that is not good. We don't want to let fear in like that.
And, you know, especially in the realm of our finances, if fear creeps into the realm of our finances, it'll hinder us from taking up opportunities. Mm-hmm. It'll hinder us from, you know, God wants to get money to us, but also through us.
Amen.
Right? And so oftentimes there's been times where God has asked us to give money to missionaries, to other ministries, organizations, benevolent giving. And if we didn't really deep down trust God with our finances, and finance, isn't it the least of all things?
Yep, yep.
Isn't that what Jesus said? This is
Luke
the least 16, of things.
It's the least thing, least important thing.
So if we want to really beat fear, I can tell you one of the things that we've found to be a a path to success, you know, a path to victory in this area in our life is if we feel like the Lord is prompting us to give and immediately our flesh goes, wow, yeah. I don't want to do that, then we know it's fear that's rising up and yeah. we're like, the only way to silence that fear is to give.
Yeah.
So we actually counter, it's like face, we've talked about this before, our fears, in the area of giving, in the area of finances. Yeah.
So this rich young ruler, even though he had a bunch of possessions and he could have given them away and it wouldn't have, you know, he could have followed Jesus, he had fear about giving. Mm. And even though he had a lot, he had a fear of giving. And he was, you know, as you talked about, you can have a millionaire who's in fear of their finances. Well, here's a great example right here. The second example we'll look at is in a few chapters down, and that's in Mark 12. In Mark 12, we have a completely different example here. And in Mark 12, Jesus is at the synagogue, and they're giving. The people are coming up and giving. And there's someone who comes up to give, and she has very little. In fact, I'm going to bring it in here in verse 41. This is Mark 12 and verse 41. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money in the treasury. Mm-hmm. And how many who were rich put in much. Imagine this, Jesus today. Imagine, I don't know what church you go to or if you've seen offerings taken up at conferences or anything like that. But can you imagine if the leader of the conference or the pastor sat there or stood there and watched how much people gave and how they gave? And we've actually been to a church like this where the pastor watched the people giving. They had some offerings at the front, some plates at the front, and they were giving to different missionaries and things. And it was a type of tongue-in-cheek, but this guy came up and he gave some money to in one of these buckets to the missionary. And as he walked off, the pastor went, hey, come back. You can do better than that. The guy came back, wow. Put extra in there. Me and Carly were like, we've never seen that before. But, you know, can you imagine if that happened? That would be uncomfortable. Well, Jesus sat here and watched how people gave. And he was interested in how people gave. It wasn't about the amounts. God is not interested in the amount. It's how we give.
Yeah.
And it's the amount in comparison to what we have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going back to fear, this is a widow woman here in verse 42. It said, then the poor widow woman came. This widow woman was poor. And she gave, we know she was poor because she gave all she had. And it says she gave two mites, which make a quadrant. Now, people say, what is this? Roughly, it's just a few pennies. In today's spending value, the best research I've done on this, mm-hmm. in today's spending value, it's going to be about $2, mm-hmm. $2 to $3. So it's not nothing. It's not just like a penny. I mean, that's still money. She still could have, you know, maybe bought some ingredients for a meal, bought some eggs and bread or something.
Very small amount.
It's a very small amount. Mm-hmm. But that's all she had. So if you only had $2 or $3 to your name, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And she actually decided to give that. And it says that a poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make quadrants. So he called the disciples. Jesus called the disciples to himself for a teaching moment. This is a very good teaching moment. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they have put out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood. And the point being here, you know, I always joke, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get one of those signs, you know, like Mr. Smith, you know, they have at airports, you know, walk around. This is Mr. Smith. And I'm going to have one that says, poor widow woman with two mites.
You want to meet her?
Because I want to meet her because I know after this, she prospered. After this, because she trusted God, we know the scriptures, we know the word of God works. You know, we seek first the kingdom of God. He's going to add these things to us. All these scriptures about how when we give and trust God of our finances, we're going to increase.
Yeah.
She put it into motion. But that's not my point today. My point today is the fact that she gave. She didn't let fear stop her giving.
Right.
And if anyone
should
have feared.
She gave out of faith rather than fear.
Amen. If anyone could have feared, it could have been the widow woman because all she had was two mites and she
right.
gave everything she had. But she chose not to be driven by fear. She was driven by faith. And Jesus commended her for that. Jesus
yeah.
said, you know, she has given generously.
Yeah.
And have you know, God can't, when you give generously, it's almost like God can't help himself. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He just loves a cheerful giver. He loves to when people give generously and he'll just lavish back
He's
on them.
He's the biggest
praise
giver.
God. He is the biggest giver. So my point being is this, if we have fear in our finances, it'll hinder us because we will try and withhold the little we have.
Yeah.
And it can actually lead to lack like Proverbs 11:24
yeah.
says.
And you can see this as well. It's not just in financial things, but people that have a fear and it usually tips over from one area into another.
Yep.
So things like, you can hear it, can't you? You can,
yep.
Fear and faith both speak, so you can
yep.
hear it in the phrases like, we can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out a lot. Or people that just, they want to be kind of greedy, can manifest in greed
yep.
even. Greed, gluttony.
Because what that is,
even.
That's a fear of lack. That's a fear
yeah.
of, this might be my last meal, so I've got to eat everything I can.
Yep.
Over,
they overeat, worried that they're not going to get to eat again, or there's not
yep.
going to be enough, like they struggle able to share.
Yeah, it's irrational. And this can happen whether you have an abundance or you don't. This can manifest. So you don't want to let fear in and be operating that fear. Now, if you are, praise God, then it's very simple. What you need to do is you need to repent and say, God, I don't want to let fear in anymore. God doesn't want you to be operating in fear. He has better for you.
Because fear leads to lack.
Amen. Fear leads to lack. He has faith for you. He wants you to operate in faith and operate in the promises that he's given you. And he's promised to provide for you. And he's promised, praise God, that if you'll let him, and what we do is to let him, we believe it. We believe the promises of God. Mm. And in James 2, it says, you know, faith without works or faith without corresponding actions is dead or not real faith. So if we really believe it, we're going to act on it.
Yeah.
And the best thing about finances is we have something tangible to act on. We can give finances and act in faith, praise God.
You can silence the fear of lack with a giving.
Amen. I tell you, when we give, praise God, we're saying we're putting God first. We're trusting God with our finances, and we give, praise God, out of faith rather than fear.
Amen.
And it's amazing how we can prosper that way. It's how it works. It's God has set it up this way. It's more blessed to give than to receive, praise God. And when we give by faith, praise God, it's amazing how it works out. It takes faith.
That's right.
But God wants us to prosper, and he's made provision for us. Amen. So we're out of time.
Let's pray for the people. Let me just speak a blessing. And Father God, I just thank you for everybody watching this. And I just speak a breakthrough, a financial breakthrough into people's finances right now. Father, I thank you that you're enabling us to trust you. We know you're the ultimate provider. You're the biggest giver. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and help us make this real to us, make this alive to us, that we can deep down get a revelation, a breakthrough in this realm of giving in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us in this fearless series, praise God. We know you're going to go out and live a fearless life for Jesus. Amen. We'll see you next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, or call us at 719-600-3344.
Has fear been manifesting itself in your finances? Do you find yourself with a fear of lack, a fear of running out, a shortage, a worry about how we're going to make ends meet? God wants to set you free in this realm. He is the biggest giver, and he's a good, good father. He's provided for our kids, but fear of lack will hold us back from the very provision that God has for us. Stay tuned, listen to this whole series, and learn how you can live a fearless life in every area of your life.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, or call us at 719-600-3344.
Had chronic pain in my shoulder. I can't sleep at night. I'm healed. I can hear better. Praise God.
Yeah,
thank you,
awesome.
Lord.
Praise God.
Oh, Ashley and Carly, I think they're amazing. I think they have a great ministry. I think they're inspired. I think God's really working in their life.
Through the many outreaches of Terades Ministries, people are being saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and are receiving financial miracles.
Oh, it's wonderful. We're supporters. We started supporting them last year. And since we've done that, we have been so blessed. Our house is paid off. Our cars are paid off. We are debt free.
Through the support of our partners, Terades Ministries is able to share the gospel around the world, ministering in churches, conferences, and Bible colleges, produce uplifting and life-changing television programs, develop meaningful connections with people through our social media ministry and internet outreaches, create and distribute teaching resources, hold free conferences and events, provide support for pastors, ministers, and missionaries. Terades Ministries is dedicated to empowering believers in the promises of God. Join Ashley and Carly in spreading the good news of abundance and freedom. Become a partner today.